The Fan.
To noon, it's been referenced a couple of different times now, is with six games remaining on the Vikings schedule, it is time, finally, we've been waiting for it, to truly be Rubes and start scoreboard watching as we approach the NFL playoffs. The Vikings at 9-2, trying to make a playoff push. Let's stop talking about clinching the NFC North. We'll hang the banner, we'll appreciate it some pregame later this season, and then we'll move on with thoughts of January and maybe even February success.
From none and done to Valley of the Sun.
So the standings as they exist right now would mean this team is currently a playoff team.
Heineke's on the shotgun play action. Taylor, he runs away from Zadarius. A rare deep shot. And it is caught inside the five. Zone is Curtis Samuel, touchdown. Now Harrison Smith had an interception.
It was Cameron Bynum that ran into the official.
Yeah, that's
and
that
fell down.
Right. Yeah, Bynum ran into the official. I thought it was the hitman. He would have had a pick, and instead Samuel.
I don't know how the hell it's happening right now, PA, but the 7-5 Washington Commanders, as it stands now, are the seventh seed in the NFC playoffs.
That's a team that can win a road game. And the reason I say it is because eventually Chase Young's going to play. I mean, there were rumors he was going to play against the Vikings, which were far-fetched.
Yeah.
And he still hasn't played.
Yeah, I think, where did they go? It was Philly on a Monday after that. He didn't play that game. Then it was, hey, we're activating him for that Houston game.
That's what it was.
And then now, most recently, I think they played Atlanta. We haven't seen him yet.
Right, but you're going to see him. And eventually, they're going to get that monster defensive line going.
Oh, God.
With those physical corners. I mean, they're like this corner, Danny Johnson. Nobody cares, okay? He picked off Cousins. Big deal. But he's just physical. They have physical, very, very tenacious, no-name corners to a certain extent. They like to beach up a little bit at the line. Washington, be careful. That is a team that can win a road playoff game simply with that defensive line.
At 7-4, simply by nature of the Commanders not having a bye week, this team is, as of now, the sixth spot, one ahead of the Commanders.
Jones in the shotgun. He's got Breed off to his right. Three receivers to the left. Cager, single man to the right. Jones waits, gets the snap, back to pass, looks left, throws left, caught by James into the end zone for a Giants touchdown. 8 seconds remaining in the game. It's now 28-19. Gano will come out for the extra point, try and make it an 8-point game.
You want to talk about Turkey Day bad beats? You want Dallas to run it up. They just beat the Purple 40-3.
Yeah.
All you got to do is cover the 8.5 or 9, whatever you had it at.
9.5.
And with 8 seconds left, they kicked that extra point.
Division dog, though.
Ooh, division dog comes through. The Giants are 7-4. And you're going to get the similarities here. I mean, I'm not even going to play the highlight. I'm still so annoyed with the game. But the Cowboys are in the fifth spot.
Yep.
So you're three deep NFC East right now in wild card teams. Now, is that subject to change? We can get into that because in the hunt, you have those Seattle Seahawks we talked about with Arif, with Geno Smith, and that high-flying offense and a defense that is just absolutely putrid. And then you have a team vying for potentially winning a division with a losing record.
Dog pound making noise. Bucks face third down 5. Need to reach the 5-yard line. Brady shotgun look white on his right hip.
What the hell's that?
Good snap.
Noise?
Looks upfield. Looks upfield. Knocks it out. Throws the ball to the left side. Caught ball at the 3. 2-1. Touchdown to flag zone. Flag zone with a touchdown by Gus Godwin. And let's see if that's going to be defensive pass interference.
I love you, Gene.
Yeah. It's defensive pass interference.
Is he doing it on TV?
No, declined the penalty. The touchdown catch by Godwin.
Gene might not go on the road.
He is good. His second game in a row, he's caught a touchdown. I think Chris Godwin is back.
Gene Dekaroff, Tampa Bay Bucks Radio Network.
Okay, so drunk John Riggins jersey guy in front of Bursich and I.
Correct.
Leading to three SWAT members, all toting assault rifles, and I have photo proof, in the Vox box during plays. I thought that was bad until you hear the Rube at the beginning of that highlight banging on the front of the booth, which it's an older stadium, so you got stuff loose. It's not taut. It sounds like he's banging on a shed. Listen to this. Hit it.
Dog pound making noise. Bucks face third down five. Need to reach the 5-yard line.
That's coming from the dog pound.
Look white on his right hip.
Good snap. It's some Cleveland Brown guy banging on a shed.
It's obnoxious as hell. Cowbell. It's a triangle. I don't know what that. It might be a garbage can. There might be buzzers involved. They might be taking lessons from the Houston Astros a few years prior.
I mean, it's almost to the point. I've seen the Bucks enough this year because I like to watch Brady. I mean, from the department of be careful what you wish for, I ain't tripping on that at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's now Vita Vea. Okay, now that's a monster. Now that's a highly, highly underrated nose/three technique. And he's won a Super Bowl, so he's probably not underrated. He was just pushing fools around this week, and it was unbelievable. So, but then they got Devin White. So, yes, and Antoine Winfield Jr. We know the personnel. You get that personnel in the postseason, and that personnel supposedly will find a level mere mortals can't, but they didn't last year.
Yeah.
And they jacked around with the Rams and acted like they could come get them at any minute, came charging at them, but they got beat at the wire. So, and now you got Brady and everything that's happening in his life, and I ain't kidding you, man. I mean, A, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. B, there's no way can he just hone in on a game plan and where these non-obvious blitzes are coming from and, like, have 100% attention on it. He just can't.
No.
And then you got to play the game, which probably is a respite for him. So
and he doesn't even get to chill on the whole divorce thing. I mean, if you think about it in a lot of ways, there's nothing with that that gets to be truly private. Other than lawyer-to-lawyer related conversations, right? Because anytime he's out there doing radio, he's out there interacting with people, there's going to be a buddy or two in the facility that's like, hey, did you get a good sleep last night? Right. Hey, how's everything going?
But see, the sad, bad stuff will be private. Like situations with your kids that are very uncomfortable and tears. And
I hope it's private.
Daddy this, mommy that. You know, kids in the middle of a living room. So, yeah. So, but I would assume it would weigh on his heart.
Oh, yeah.
So, but Tampa Bay, period, no matter what their situation is with that offensive line, I just ain't tripping on it. I mean, I think the Vikings can beat them. But when you mentioned the Giants and Seattle, see, Arif Hassan brought up a very good point about those youngsters in the secondary for Seattle, specifically the kid with the big arms who might be defensive rookie of the year, but he ain't going to beat Sauce Gardner, but you know what I mean. They're starting to regress a little bit.
Yep.
The pass rush isn't as potent as it was the first 6 or 7 games of the year. Well, the Giants lost at home to the Motor City Kitties. So I know the Motor City Kitties are making life difficult on everybody. They won 3 in a row. They almost beat Steph on national TV. But nevertheless, if you are a team with division winning or home playoff game hosting aspirations, it's preferable to not lose at home to the Detroit Lions.
That is correct.
Now, we jacked around with them, but we didn't lose. They jacked around with them and lost. So if you look at the hierarchy of Khan's potential and or probable playoff push primer for the Minnesota Vikings, what we're starting to see, we're starting to see the rubber meet the road to a certain extent with some of these teams that have question marks. It's like, okay, the Vikings got blown out and embarrassed by Dallas, but they made it right by beating Belichick the next game. The Giants losing home to the Lions, well, they didn't make it right the next game.
No, they did not.
They took an L.
Yeah.
Seattle got into a shootout with a team that A, plays like it hates its coach, and B, can't wait for the season to end. And lost. Now, granted, they lost on Josh Jacobs getting loose from like 81 in overtime, but they still lost. And see, that's where we're starting to get our separators here.
Yep.
When you identify the Vikings and you're like, the narrative of beating bad teams, well, that's gone. Okay, because there have been too many wins now. Okay, so what is the current narrative that is the A topic for the Minnesota Vikings with six games to play? At least what I believe it should be nationwide. And I think there's only one answer. They're 1-2 against teams that can win the Super Bowl. So the double doink, sneaking by Skyler, K-State guy, whatever, whoever he is, Teddy, Heinicke, you know, Cousins getting sacked four times in the whatever, all of that matters, and it's all minutia that needs to be analyzed. But the overarching air traffic control related modus operandi moving forward now is the Minnesota Vikings are 9-2. They're going to have a home playoff game. They might be a one seed. Okay, so you got that. What overrides it, in my opinion? They played three teams that can win the Super Bowl. They got blown out twice, and they got lucky, arguably, to win one.
Yeah.
Okay, now that's not bad, because you did find a way to beat a team that can go to the Super Bowl, the Buffalo Bills. Now, I mean, I guess the Miami Dolphins might be able to go to the Super Bowl, but see, I think Miami and Minnesota they're similar in that they have defensive questions at certain times of games, but they also have offenses that'll whoop your ass if you ain't paying attention.
Yeah.
So they're not dissimilar, those two teams.
Well, and I think, you know, for Miami, it's just tougher in that division going up against the Bills and trying to stack wins. And you think about how the schedule is laid out, where they're going across the country now to play a Niners team, where that's not something we would have to deal with.
Yeah.
I think the AFC is a hell of a lot tougher. I think Miami, full guns a-blazing, I actually like their team almost as much, if not maybe even a little bit more at this stage. The connectivity on offense, the defense is better. They've been able to stack a couple of lopsided wins and assert their will.
Yeah.
But they also have a much tougher road to the Super Bowl than the Vikings
do. Who would you rather have, Kirk or Tua?
Well, I'd rather have Kirk.
Who would you rather have, Dalvin or what they're wheeling out there?
Well, Dalvin.
Jefferson or Tyreek? It's close.
That's very close, but J.J.
Right, and defensively speaking.
But J.J., but Tyreek and Waddle?
Yep.
Or J.J. and Thielen?
Right.
I would have to concede that the Miami duo right now looks a little fresher, a little bit younger and faster.
But when you make it an MV3 and you put Dalvin in it, how's that work out?
Well, then that tips the scales back in favor of the purple.
It might tip the scale a little bit the way of the purple.
I like their defense better than ours at this point.
Yeah,
and I still have more questions than answers with our defensive unit. But good thing they're in the AFC, not the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
Playing that Bucs highlight though, and again, it's NFC East, and they're all playing second fiddle to the Eagles, of course, atop the NFC in totality right now. But this could potentially be the fourth time in NFL history that a team wins a division and hosts a playoff game despite having a losing record. Bucks are 5-6.
Crazy.
And I think in the end, you're going to see Seattle jump up and maybe clip a team like the Giants or Washington.
Mm.
After that, we're talking about the Lions and Packers and beyond. So there really is a serious dividing line with an eighth or ninth team.
So are the Buccaneers truly sweating Marcus Mariota?
Well, that's the thing. Tom's never lost to the Falcons.
But the Falcons, they're like a half game or a game behind, right?
Yeah, it's just they haven't had a bye week yet.
Wow.
So you look at the Falcons right now, they go Steelers next into a bye.
Ooh.
Then they're at the Saints, at the Ravens, and then they host the Cards and Bucks to end the season.
Oh.
It could be week 18 winning in that weird, poorly lit monstrosity in Atlanta.
And Kyle Pitts is hurt. I don't know if he's out for the year, but he's IR guy.
He might, then that would put him right in that area where he's going to start practicing again week 16, week 17-ish.
Yeah.
Cordero, we love him, but he can't handle the entire offense himself.
Who does Tommy have left?
Tommy has... They're hosting Saints.
Okay, hold on.
They're 5-6.
Okay. Watch this. Okay. Ready?
Yes.
Saints win.
Ooh. Okay. 5-7.
Division dog. So, great. We haven't done our action bit yet. All right. Well, it's division dog. Division dog, yes. Saints win, perhaps. But remember, who won the first game between those two this year? It was like week two.
I thought this didn't...
The Saints never lose to the Buccaneers with Brady. That's my point.
But I thought they did, and it was one of those ugly, just nasty games.
Oh, wait, it was the fight with Evans and Lattimore, and Evans got suspended.
They won 20-10. The Bucks did.
Okay, yeah, Tommy got tired of hearing he never beats the Saints.
Yeah,
and so yeah, so okay.
Yeah, they started off 2-0 before losing 5 of their next 6.
All right, man. I'm saying the Saints win that game 5-7. Keep going.
Okay, 5-7. Then they're at Niners.
5-8.
5-8. Host the Bengals.
5-9.
Well, I mean, then we're starting to get into some nasty territory here.
Tommy needs time.
They're at Kyler.
6-9.
Okay, 6-9. Can't pick Kyler and them to win.
Ryan picking Kyler. He got off the way. He came back, played great. They got 3 key guys back, including Hollywood Brown, their last game. Still found a way to lose.
Second to last game, they host the Panthers.
W.
Okay, so they are 7-9 into the last game of the season.
Yeah.
At Falcons.
You think Tommy makes the playoffs or not?
Well, right now, again, he's 5-0 against the Falcons.
Ooh.
He's 5-0.
Ooh. Yeah, but what's his record against Mariota?
Well, I think 1-0.
Oh, they played him
earlier,
already?
Yeah, from earlier this
season. What's his record when Calvin Ridley teases the total under?
Ooh, that's a
no
very good
idea.
Point.
Go ahead.
Well, Falcons then, let's just play this out with them. Yeah. Falcons hosting Steelers. They're 5-7
Falcons
now.
Falcons hosting Steelers. Pittsburgh's going to win.
Okay, so they're 5-8. Bye week at Saints.
Atlanta.
Okay, 6-8 at Ravens.
Atlanta.
7-8 hosting Cards.
Atlanta.
They are 8-8 with the division and everything on the line.
Atlanta wins.
A 7-9
week
Bucks team.
Week 1, Atlanta wins. Week 2, Atlanta, U.S. Bank Stadium. Who wins? Better not be doing that dirty bird week number 2 at U.S. Bank Stadium. All right. So
the NFC South sucks. There are many more talkers in terms of what impacts the Vikings more intimately, however.
Well, let's do this. Lay out, when we return, lay out 1-7.
Yeah.
All right? And then we'll just like, if you already did it, I apologize. I forgot. And then we'll see like who would be playing each other.
I haven't hit the matchups yet. No, and I have them.
And then we will identify a team or two. We're the faith over fear covenant. Very difficult for me to say that we fear. I don't like talking like that. We will identify a team or two
that have our attention.
That has our attention from the National Football Conference. We'll do that around the corner. It's KFan.
The Fan.
All right, so what do you do from here? So Philly's the one.
Yeah.
And Philly hosts Tennessee with that run defense that's having some problems.
I like this. Well, I did like this 3-game road stretch for them after that, though, where they went at the Giants. Bears could get sneaky with Fields, except now Fields has the shoulder
thing. With the Bears. Okay.
The whole thing's like done. I know.
When I asked you
way
at the beginning of the show, toughest game left on the schedule for the Vikings, you didn't say the Jets here. Okay. The Jets defense is so much better than New England's schematically and in totality.
I understand that.
They just don't have a Judon with 13.
I think the right answer is the Lions.
No, you said it's at Soldier Field. And then you referenced week 18 where we fired, or 2018, we fired an offensive coordinator like a month before. Everything was pear-shaped that year.
The right answer is the Lions, but I don't want to be your parrot.
Well, no, you're not my parrot.
I was trying to find something different.
No, stop listening to Abbott about being my parrot, okay? It's not my parrot.
I know.
It doesn't mean I have the right answer, but nevertheless, if we agree, we agree. Because if you were to say it was the Jets, I mean, what about the Giants? What about Saquon, Danny Dimes? Got some receivers playing now. Defensively, Dexter Lawrence is unblockable. Dexter Lawrence is this side of Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
The most unblockable defensive tackle in the National Football League, more than Quinnen Williams.
I think they're in trouble a little bit defensively overall with some injuries, however. Adoree Jackson is gone until further notice. They are not trending upward right now. That is a problem with them. And I think they've lost a couple in a row now. They're going to bounce back hungry against Washington. That's where that'll kind of solve itself. The Giants and Washington play two games in a three-week period.
You got Frank Nabilo telling you that you agree with me too much? What's the cat's name?
Frank Nabilo.
Who is it?
Oh,
your friend?
Isaac?
No, your golf friend.
My golf friend?
Yeah, famous. Rocco Media?
Oh, Rocco?
Yeah.
Rocco doesn't listen to this show.
Okay, well, that's your friend.
He's probably in Florida right now playing nine.
I thought it was Frank Nabilo telling you, stop agreeing with PA so much.
Oh, my God. It was Abbott.
Give us the 1-7.
All right. The 1-7 right now.
Now, the Eagles, by the way, that safety, I mean, you talk about
Gardner Johnson.
Yeah, FIWA, Fairness and Whipping Act. I mean, we're about ready to play Monday Night Football. We kill Green Bay. We're on to something. I got the premonition that led to an epiphany and subsequently a public proclamation, you know, like a month and a half, 2 months before that, and I'm feeling good about it. And then I'm looking at, what's the guy's name? Gardner Johnson,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, C.J. Gardner Johnson, yeah.
He messed up his kidney.
Yeah,
okay, so
he's in trouble.
Yeah, he got hurt the other. Now, this is FIWA, Fairness in Whiffing Act, just to show you that you can throw opinions out there, and if they're bad, just make sure they're really bad.
Yeah.
And if they're good, just make sure they're unbelievably memorable.
Sure.
So three people can be like, hey, good job, as opposed to 300,000 being like, you suck. So you want one of the two.
Very good point.
And my point with him, and I was wrong, but I was like, let me get this straight. You're so stuck at safety. You just traded with New Orleans 3 weeks ago for a backup safety, and now you're starting him. And then the guy's blowing up JJ and just killing us.
Yeah, I think he led the league or leads the league in interceptions
with
right
like
now.
Six or seven,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and they got Marcus Epps working opposite him.
Right.
But you look at that tandem and you think that's a disaster, and it's been nothing but gold for them for the most part.
But remember after they played Houston on Thursday Night Football, and I came to the feast, and I'm like, they got a problem with their run defense.
Yeah.
Because what does Damian Pierce, what I saw him just do was too easy. Now, Houston ain't going to beat Philadelphia over a 60-minute game. Green Bay ain't going to beat Philadelphia over a 60-minute game. What did the Packers go for? It had to be at least 100.
Yeah, it was 100 and change,
well,
absolutely.
Yeah, but it's tough to run for even 5 yards when the other team's holding the ball three-quarters of the game, busting that ass for 360 on the ground, though.
Absolutely, hey. It is.
So, but the point being is they signed Robert Quinn from the Bears. They made that trade. Robert is a one-trick pony and has no interest in stopping the run. See, so they get gouged for 140 by Pierce, but the yards per carry wasn't big. But it's like what you said with Dalvin in the Patriots game, where it may have been 2 or 3 yards a carry, but guess what? Go back and watch Kyle Duggar. Go back and watch Devin McCourty or those linebackers. Take that little baby step on the play action because now they know you might run.
Correct.
And so it was Damian Pierce, and then Washington got him and beat him. So Philly's defense against the run is jacking with its pass defense because they're having to overcompensate.
And now they've added Linval Hungry and Ndamukong Suh to that mix, and it really hasn't changed necessarily any part of that.
No.
And the entire complex, the way that the Eagles running the ball was the A topic for them, obviously 350+ yards.
Wow.
But it was that massive time of possession number again.
Yep.
Where the Vikings, and it's been a common refrain, just couldn't get Dalvin going in the first half. Well, we never had the ball. We never had the ball. We ran it for 11 times in that game. And you know Dalvin at 5.5 a clip was able to do damage against that group they have.
But see, Dalvin Tomlinson returning for the Vikings may not be this week, but he will return and he will help. But he also played in that game against Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, we had all our guys.
We
had our preferred units.
And from Patrick Jones diving to the wrong spot on Jalen Hurts' first touchdown by the goal line.
Yep.
For A.J. Brown and your guy Quintez Watkins or Quez, whatever his name is.
Quez Watkins?
Quez Watkins, middle of the field.
Is that even his name?
Somebody forgot about Quez Watkins. So they...
And then that second rushing touchdown where we just decided we weren't going to tackle Jalen Hurts.
Yep. That's right. It looked like a gotcha. So for me, even with everything we've just said, and San Francisco being the flavor of the day because of McCaffrey, I understand that and I respect it. This is a 1 and a 1A for me. It's not a 55-45. It's a 52-48, which makes it Philly 1, Niners 1A.
Yeah.
And then somebody else like Dallas would be 2.
Dallas would be the next one for me.
Well, it's because I think Philly. I don't think Philly's going to lose many more games.
No.
I mean, they got the Giants twice at Dallas, Tennessee at home, and then some L in there.
Who's then they're hosting the Giants.
Yeah.
And then it's the Bears and the Saints.
Yeah, see?
They're not going to lose.
Bears.
They're not going to lose many more.
With Sam Bourne and 16 tackles.
We need the Bears to show up.
Right. So
what if Montgomery and Herbert get loose?
I believe it would be more difficult to get to the Super Bowl through Lincoln Financial than Santa Clara. And Santa Clara ain't easy. And that Shanahan running game with Juszczyk and McCaffrey, and I get it, Debo, yeah, that they're both unbelievably tough. But I don't know, man. Philly, for me, that probably would be the Philly would be the A topic. What about you? Is it the Niners?
Philly and the Niners are my 2A topics.
Well, of course they are, because I picked them.
No, I... Yes! Because I'm your parent.
Brent Nobolo!
The Niners, for me, are the most dangerous team in the NFC right now. Mm-hmm. And it is partially the McCaffrey angle, but and knowing what can be done with him. But that defense is unbelievable, and they are getting more healthy. And they're doing it with less, in particular on the outside, that's their one Achilles heel.
Philly lost Dallas Goedert for the year. That's big.
But how have we handled the run?
No, but I'm saying that
it's massive.
They've lost Goddard, and Kittle's starting to get hot.
It's massive. But Kittle not having a hamstring issue is important. Brandon Ayuk, the way that Jimmy G's spreading the ball around, I think overall that's the most dangerous matchup. As of now, the matchups as they sit into wild card weekend, if the season ended today, as we Rube-like scoreboard watch, Philly gets to chill. We host Washington, so it's a Heineke rematch with it all on the line, wild card weekend.
Yeah.
Niners would host the Giants, and then Tampa would host Dallas.
Ooh, that's nice.
And so, basically, if you say the Niners are going to beat the Giants, and we handle business against Heineke, then it's Minnesota hosting the Niners. And whoever wins Tampa, Dallas goes to Philly.
The Minnesota Vikings premature playoff push primer. Very monomaniacal by the con and handled beautifully. Just like the Pettin playback, associate head coach Mike Pettin talking about the Jets and much more. We'll play that back for you when 9 to noon continues at KFAM.
Final segment, 9 to noon, features Mike Pettin, associate head coach, your Minnesota Vikings. Each and every morning around 9:30, you'll hear the Vikings report with Mike Pettin, and we love it. But he's so good, so long-winded, so thoughtful that we like using this as a playback opportunity. Tuesday mornings, 9 to noon. Here's the most recent edition, extended style, PA and Mike Pettin. Starting off the conversation, PA asks him, hey, you know, when Dalvin Tomlinson, who's missed 4 games, when he's back in the mix, what are some things that you love about Dalvin? How do we know that Dalvin Tomlinson is doing great work for that defensive line?
Yeah, DT's definitely been missed. I mean, it's just you just don't replace with the same production a player of his caliber. But the group has stepped up around him, you know, in his absence. You know, I think James Lynch has been a pleasant surprise. You know, Kyrus Tonga stepped in and made an immediate impact, but we're definitely looking forward, you know, to getting the big fellow back. I mean, I think the biggest thing will be a boost to that interior pass rush. We're so good on the edges, but if you're not getting the inside of the pocket collapsed, which is one of his strengths, that it's the quarterback gets a little bit too much room to step up, and your edge guys are not as effective.
How did Duke Shelley do against the Patriots in his first start in a year?
Well, it was his first start, but it was more than a year that he started a game on the outside. I mean, he was primarily a nickel, which is a very different world. You know, a lot of people don't realize. I mean, it's like being a center or a guard, and all of a sudden now you're going to go out and play tackle. It's very different. Most people would be surprised by how well he played. I know there's one person that you won't find on that list is Duke Shelley. he's very, very confident. You know, he prides himself in his preparation. That no moment's too big for him, and it wasn't a big surprise to his teammates or to us, just because we see how he is and how he handles his business. So I know we've talked about him previously, that he's tough, he's competitive, you know, very high football IQ. And again, he showed that he could make a big play in a big moment. I mean, that was just a huge momentum shift before the half, when they drove down and took one shot into the end zone to a receiver much taller than Duke, and he very calmly made the play, and just like he did in Buffalo, he very easily could have panicked and fouled. And I just thought that was a big momentum boost for us, you know, only to give up. You know, it was a 4-point play, you know, only giving up three there heading into the locker room.
Hey, Coach Patton, big spot a week ago for backup left tackle Blake Brandel, and he came through. How did things work out for Blake against New England?
Yeah, I think anytime your quarterback goes 30 for 37 and your offense produces 26 points against one of the league's best scoring defenses, I mean, your offensive line has to have played well, and Blake was a big part of it. You know, he more than held his own. I mean, he gave up the one sack, you know, down in the red zone. I think he overset the defensive end a little bit, but you just feel the confidence building there moving forward until CD can come back. But it's the NFL. You can't sit and look back for too long. It's on to the next challenge, and this might be the best defensive front that we've played this year.
Now the Jets here Sunday at noon held Buffalo and Miami to 17 points each. They won both those games. The Jets, fewest fourth quarter points allowed, tied for second in defensive yards per play. What can be imposing with this New York Jets defense?
Well, I think it's pretty easy to see. I mean, this is a combination of outstanding personnel. I think Joe Douglas has done an outstanding job building that roster. It's the GM. Anytime you're going against Robert Saleh, you're going to have some issues presented to you schematically. So they're very talented at all three levels of the defense. They get up and they challenge you. They get in your face. They get their hands on you. And then the scheme causes a lot of problems. They're very aggressive, multiple looks, pressures from a lot of different unique looks, and they force you to be on point with your communication. I mean, if you're not on the same page, then they're going to thrive on that.
All right, the Vikings and New York Jets this weekend, Coach Patton. These Jets, do they have some juice at receiver with this rookie Garrett Wilson and a couple of other speedsters?
They do, and I think it's a very underrated skill group. You're looking at, you know, Corey Davis, who's a proven receiver. Braxton Berrios has made some big plays. Elijah Moore. And the tight ends are a big part of what they do. You know, former Viking Tyler Conklin, the second leading receiver behind Wilson. C.J. Uzoma, who was with the Bengals before, has been productive. And their issues in the past have been getting the ball to them. You know, it's well-documented struggles at quarterback, but that certainly wasn't the case last week. The move to Mike White was a big spark for them. And we all know what he is capable of. You know, you just go back to the Cincinnati game last year when he threw for over 400 yards in probably what was their biggest win.
Now, 11 games into it, Mike, how has Danielle Hunter adapted to his position? And is it more of a finesse role than what he was used to?
Yeah, I don't know if you can call being an edge defender in the NFL a finesse role. But from an alignment standpoint, I mean, you know, typically now he's usually on early downs, especially he's in a two-point stance. You know, he's on the outer edge of the formation. In the past, he played more in a three-point stance. It was head up on the tight end a lot, and that technique is just not a big part of what we do. And dropping into coverage is something he doesn't do much now, but it's certainly, you know, he didn't do any of it before, and he's done a good job handling that part of it. He's done a good job buying into what we're doing. I mean, that outside linebacker room is really the cornerstone of our defense. I mean, four guys in there that are all playing well, you know, 20 sacks from that room, over 20 sacks, I think, from that room with Danielle having seven of them. And I think what doesn't show up is you know the respect that other teams have shown to that group, especially him and Zadarius. I mean, it's rare that there's a obvious pass down where they're not being double teamed or chipped before the back or the tight end gets out. And that has an effect on other teams' offenses as far as what they can do when they know they can't block guys one-on-one and they have to allocate resources that keeps them from getting as many guys out on the route. I mean, that's advantage us. So opposing offenses know that outside linebacker group can wreck a game, so we get much heavier protections than typically they've showed. The ball comes out on average much faster than it normally does for them against us. And that's like I said, respect for Daniil and the rest of that group.
Hey, Mike, if you were to identify a single big defensive key to beating the Jets, what would it be?
I would have to think it's going to be against this group to stop the run. I mean, this group wants to run the ball first. And their last seven games, looking at the stats earlier, I think they've had over 130 yards rushing in five of the last seven, and they've had some big rushing games, and that's when they play well. I'm very familiar with their offensive coordinator. Mike LaFleur was on our staff in Cleveland, part of the Shanahan coaching tree, which means they're very creative in the run game, very creative overall, but especially in the run game. And I think it's going to be key for us to defend that is to handle the, it's different formations, and there's a lot of pre-snap movement, the shifts, the motions. They're just like San Francisco. I mean, there's probably 90% of the time you're going to get some type of pre-snap movement that's going to force us to communicate and make sure that we're on the same page. And that's not easy, as we've talked about before. We love it when it's loud, but it does stress us as far as making sure we're on the same page. That's why we practice with crowd noise on the defensive side when we're playing at home. So, they're going to force us to communicate well and force us to play with great eyes, because a lot of what they do is, they want you to kind of, it's eye candy. They want you looking elsewhere, hiding their true intent. So I just think if we're on point with that, then I think we can have a good day.
That's Associate Vikings head coach Mike Pettine. You hear him during the Vikings report each and every day, but that was the extended version, his chat weekly with PA. That wraps up 9 to noon, and stay tuned. Not that we've forgotten about Gophers football, but it's Gopher Hoops Weekly with Coach Ben Johnson. That's around the corner. Thanks for listening to 9 to noon. We're back at TCO tomorrow. Enjoy the afternoon. Drive safely.
We lucky we got. Today's Paul Allen Show, or listen back to previous show and interviews by going to the iHeartRadio app or KFAN.